So y'all, we're continuing in our sermon series, Sweet Like Honey. We're talking about the promises of God. I think we ought to get excited about the promises of God, y'all. For real, though. I'm talking about for real, though. I'm at a point in my life, y'all, where I've come to really believe in the promises of God, to hang on to the promises, that whatever God says he will do, I just believe. I'm crazy enough to believe. Even if it looks like you're crazy, God will do what he says he's going to do. Any witnesses in the house today that God will do what he says he will do. So we have to learn to hang on to the promises of God Almighty, that his promises are sweet. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. The last time I checked, y'all, we like sweet stuff. We like cakes and pies and things like that. We have a tendency to go back to those things too, y'all. Guess what? God wants us to always go back to his word, to receive from his word, to trust his word, to receive the promises that he has. He literally has hundreds and hundreds of promises for you and me in his word. And so in the previous weeks, we've talked about the promise of his grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. But Paul understood something. When he was weak, that God could be strong in him. That he was upheld by his grace, the power of God. And the same thing applies to us. When we are weak, y'all, God becomes strong in us. We depend upon the grace of God to keep us in every situation. We also talked about the promise of his rest. Jesus talked about rest. He says, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're carrying weights, you can come to him and he will give you his rest. His rest is like no other rest. It's not like the rest that you can get from a good night's sleep. That's okay. But his rest is a different rest. It's a rest that we need because we suffer from the weights and the worries and the strains and the disappointments and the discouragement that comes from this world, and we need his rest. We can rest in him. Yeah. That Jesus offers to you and me as we travel through this life, the promise of his rest. So today, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And it reads thus. It's the Apostle Paul speaking. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Can we say that? I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me from Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is accepted and pleasing to God. And this same God, I love this, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. So today we're going to talk about the promise of God's provision. Beloved, there are seasons that we go through life where we feel like we don't have enough. There's somebody here today know what it looks like to live in lack. Somebody knows what it looks like to have more month than money. And we cry out to God, God, I need more. I need you to provide, God. That we live in lack sometimes. We live like there's not enough. Like there's not, we don't have enough money, y'all. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough strength in this life. Maybe not enough time, maybe not enough resources, maybe not enough opportunities that are coming our way. Maybe our faith, y'all, gets so weak that we cry out to God, God, I need you to strengthen my faith. God, I need more. And here's the truth. We live in a culture, y'all, that says, listen, more makes us happy, right? As long as I got more money, y'all, I can be happy. As long as I got big bank, big ducats, dollar bills, y'all, I'm good to go. As long as I got the house, as long as I got the car, as long as I got the outfit, as long as I got, the world says you can be happy when you got all of this stuff, y'all. That more is more and less is a bore in this world. That we live in a world that says get all you can all you get, then you can be happy. The problem with that, though, things can't make you happy. Ultimately, they don't make you happy. But here's the big problem. Sometimes we bring this same mindset, y'all, before God, that we believe God's provision means, listen, we're going to get everything we want, everything we can. Listen, God is not a genie in a bottle. God is not obligated to give you everything you want. Thank God that he gives us some of our wants. He does that. But the reality is he supplies all of our need, not all of our wants. So it's not like going to Vegas to the slot machine and you run the thing down, you put your promise in there, you put your prayer in there, and God gonna give you what you want. It doesn't work that way. Y'all quiet, because I've never been to Vegas. I've never been there. Where is that anyway? Yeah, right, okay. So God's provision is not the promise that God's gonna give us everything we want, y'all. It's the assurance that God will faithfully supply what we need and strengthen us, y'all, to trust him in every circumstance. That's what this scripture is all about. To trust God, no matter situation, no matter what circumstance you're going through, that whatever you need, God will provide. Here's the reality, y'all. We can be so anxious for stuff, y'all, when our resources are limited, our time is limited, our strength gets weary, y'all. We can be so anxious for stuff. That's why Paul said in the text, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard or keep your heart. Anybody know something about the peace of God, for real though? You really know about the peace of God in your life. In the midst of troubling circumstances, things aren't going well. You don't have everything you need, but you trust God. And God gives you and he gives me his peace. Listen, we change when circumstances don't. When I say we change, listen, circumstances aren't changing. They're not going so well, but and yeah, we're frantic and we got this anxiety, but shoot, we stop and we begin to focus on God. In that moment, we change our circumstances, but we change. That our focus is on God and his ability to provide for you and for me. So in the context, the Apostle Paul is on lockdown. He's in the calaboose. He's in jail. So Paul is in jail several times, we find in the New Testament. He's in the jail at Philippi this time. So this was not like house arrest. This was not like, you know, good. But this was more like a dungeon. It's kind of in chains, y'all. It was not good. Dark and dank and nasty and dirty and stinky it is. Paul was in chains, y'all. That he didn't have abundance. He knew about abundance. But he had no abundance in his life, y'all. He was in jail. He was on lock. Paul didn't know whether he was going to live or die. He didn't know whether he'd be executed, y'all, taken out for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ nonetheless. But Paul says these powerful words, I have learned to be content. How many of us can be in lockdown kind of situation and say, I'm content? The things are dark, things are dank, things ain't looking good in your life, but you learn to still be content. You learn how to trust God. Yeah. Yes. Listen, he understood God's faithfulness. He's God's faithful in every season. No matter whether you're on the mountaintop or the valley, God is still faithful. No matter whether things are going well, you're getting everything you want or you're not, God is still faithful. No matter whether you have health, Or you're unhealthy, there's some things going on in you. God is still faithful and he's still good. So the promise of provision means that God will be faithful to you in whatever season of life you are in. God's going to be faithful to you in whatever season of life you ever find yourself in. So Paul's words to the Philippians show us a few things, y'all. Say what it shows us, and then we're going to do some baptism. We're going to go out, y'all, and we're going to eat. First thing is this, that God's provision produces contentment. God's provision, in itself, it produces contentment. When we understand what God's provision is really like, what it is, let's read again verses 10 through 13. It says this, I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So Paul starts out in these verses by thanking the Philippians for their renewed concern for him. Listen, they want to provide for some way. We don't know why, but they could. They were concerned before, but their concern is renewed. And they found a way to get resources to the Apostle Paul. Says something to us. There were people in God's house, when we're in need, we're to help each other meet those needs. That we're to do good to all people, but especially to those who are the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6. So if your brother or sister is in need, listen, if you can help them meet that need, help them meet that need. That says a lot about the church. That's why we are a family, the family of God. We're here to help each other, beloved. And so the need may be monetary. It may be, I just need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to walk with me in a season of life. We need to be there for one another. Yeah. It's interesting sometimes, y'all. Church leadership, you know, people have needs and stuff like that. And oftentimes people will say, well, we'll go to the church. And if the church can meet a need and you're a member of this church, we're going to do what we can to meet that need. But here's a novel idea. What if God blessed you so much that you look at your bank account and somebody's in need? You can go into your wallet, your pocketbook, and you can write a check and say, here, take care of the need. Now I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying, like everybody's bank account, your account is set up like that. I'm not saying that. But if you can help somebody, help somebody. Do good. If you can share some time with them, share some time with them. Do what you can do to help somebody else. But Paul says, Paul, I learned to be content, though. Listen, y'all provide for me, and that's all good. I appreciate that, but I learned something. I learned to be content. Again, this is powerful. He learned that circumstances don't determine God's faithfulness. And beloved, I hope we get that in our heads. We get that in our heart. Your circumstances don't determine God's faithfulness. Paul learned the secret, whether he's full or empty or have plenty or little. What's the secret? That I can do anything. Yes. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yes. Now I want us to slow down for a minute because we have to be careful with this. God's provision produces contentment. When we say that this Philippians 4:13, y'all, we've taken this out of context so many times in the church. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So Paul's not talking about accomplishing every dream he has, everything he can think up in his head to do. You know, we live in this world now, y'all, where we have profiting preachers, y'all, that says you can have success, you can have money, you can have fame, you can have it all. All you do is name it and claim it and you can have it. That's not a lie, that's a lie. That we can have what God says we can have. And we can do what God says we can do. But that is to that extent. So you dream up, listen, I believe I'm going to start this business over here. I'm going to make me a whole lot of money in this business. And so I'm going to walk by faith in this thing. God said, you ain't talked to God about that business at all. Then all of a sudden you find yourself in a little bit of trouble with now I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But did God purpose that for you? What was that God's word to you? But I believe this. If God says, listen, the business is yours, you know, this account is yours. This job is yours. If he's given you that promise, hang on to that promise and believe it. Yeah. What God says we can have, we can have. What God says we can do, we can do. Yeah. But really what Paul is talking about in the text is surviving every circumstance with God's strength. Remember again, Paul is in jail. And Paul said that I can be in jail, y'all. I can live in lack. I can have little resources, but I can do it not on my own, but with God's strength and with God's help. Think about Job, y'all. Job in the Old Testament, y'all, Job had it going on. Job was a very wealthy and rich man, but he lost everything. He lost his children. You know, he lost his cattle. He lost his servants. His health declined. His wife was, you know, she was Miss Job, yeah. Some of y'all know the story. Some of y'all look at me like, don't go there, don't go there, preacher, don't go there, don't go there. But what does Job say? What's the famous word we know that Job says? He says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job understands to us that we need that everything I have, it came from God. Everything I have, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning. It all comes from Him. And we bless Him and thank Him for it. So that says something to us, y'all. That we have to stop measuring our relationship with God and our faith with our bank accounts and stuff like that. That we have to stop measuring the goodness of God, y'all, by how much money we have or where we live or what we drive or the clothes that we wear. Well, as long as you're living in that big house, you know God is good. But listen, if you're in a shack, God is still good. If you got a roof over your head, you got clothes on your back, you got food to eat, you got shoes on your feet, God is good. So many of us grew up in this environment, y'all, where we had little. That, y'all, as Reverend Brown says, he wasn't poor, he was poor. He couldn't afford the OR. That we had little, but we knew how to thank God for what He gave us. That right now, y'all, we got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 suits in the closet. Some of us, we grew up, we had one suit, one dress, one pair of church shoes, y'all. That there were days when we would eat beans and rice and cornbread. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That we lived on little, y'all. We lived on the scraps, y'all. We lived on the hem hocks and the pig feet and the fatback. We lived on the scraps, y'all. But look at us now. Look how God has blessed us now. And I'm sorry to say, y'all, I'm just saying what I'm saying, y'all. We could be some of the whiniest people today than ever before. I was sharing with somebody, you know, I'm complaining, y'all, because it's hot outside. It's hotter than fish grease. It's just hot. But thank God I can feel the heat. You know, it's raining, y'all. Well, Lord, we need some rain. It starts raining. If it's raining 4 or 5 hours, Lord, if we need it to stop raining. It's raining too much now, y'all. Y'all, we dropped down to 40 degrees. We're freezing in San Antonio. Lord, it's cold outside. But listen, we're here. That God gave us everything He gave us. That whatever our external circumstances might be, it doesn't matter. God is still good. God's provision produces contentment. We have to realize God is our provider. So whether the refrigerator is empty or full, it doesn't matter. God is still good. So don't let lack, y'all, cause you to lose your mind and lose your focus on God. That sometimes, y'all, when we don't have enough, when we might have little, and I'm probably not talking to a whole lot of people in the house today, especially as it relates to financial resources. But financial resources, that's not everything. That sometimes you just need somebody to be there. That sometimes you feel like you're walking alone. You're walking all by yourself and you need somebody to walk with you in a season, and God can provide. That sometimes maybe you're dealing with grief. You're dealing with loss in your life and the grief gets real heavy and you need God to step in. He will provide. That maybe you're single and sometimes you feel like you're alone. You wish you had but God will provide. God will give you what you need. God's provision, it produces contentment, y'all, satisfaction in us. The greatest state that you could ever live in is the state called contentment. So know that God is your provider. Paul says in this, I learned to be content, but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what you did. That's what he's saying in the text, y'all. So we're going on with this. God's provision produces contentment. So it leads us to our second truth, y'all. It's this. Is that God's provision often comes through people. God's provision, most of the time, it comes through other people. Look at verses 14 through 16. Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. Listen, the Philippians, y'all, they didn't just pray for Paul. They participated in meeting his needs. Again, that says something to the church today. It's all well and good, y'all, when we pray for the poor. That's good. But we ought to be able to participate in meeting the needs of other people, participate in the needs of this ministry and this church. They sent financial and material support to the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, nobody else did this. Again, how many people are willing to open up their home, open up their resources to help other people? I believe this, that God will put provision in your hands to pass it on to somebody else that's in need. That God will bless you. God will bless me to be a blessing to somebody else. Do y'all believe that today? That the blessings that God gives, it's not for just for you to hoard and to hold on to. It's to help somebody else. And guess what? God can provide through a family member. God can provide through a friend. God can provide through the church. God can provide through complete strangers in our lives. And I'm going to mess you up on this, though. God might be able to provide for somebody you don't even like. That's why we ought to love everybody. but don't miss the provision. God's provision offers, it comes through people, through human beings, through flesh and blood. Think about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Ahab and Jezebel, they were out to get him, out to kill him, and so he goes on the run, y'all. He finds himself in the place, y'all, where God provides for him in the wilderness that he's fed with raven, with a dirty bird, a raven, y'all. And he drinks the waters from the brook. But the text says that the brook dries up. Yeah. And so God sends him to another place, that there is this woman, this widow woman, a Zarephath, and she provides for his need. So the channel changed. The channel at first was the raven, it was the brook. But that dried up. But that didn't stop God. God is the source, and he had another channel. It was a widow woman at Zarephath. Your brook may dry out, but God won't stop providing. That this door may close, but God can open another door. A job might dry up, but God can provide another job. Listen, change might be strange, money might look funny, but God can provide. That he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Do you believe that? The promise of provision, God will provide. So don't get caught up on the provision and forget the provider. That we have to trust the source, and the source is God. God's provision often comes through people. So, and if God can use one channel, God can use another channel. Channels change, but God does not change. So Paul shows us something, y'all. That God's, his contentment, y'all, his provision produces contentment, real contentment. God's provision produces real contentment because we come to understand something, that God is our actual provision, that he's our provider, that he's the one that makes a way out of no way. When you can't figure it out, God already has it figured out. But there's something else I want us to see in this. God is our sustainer. God is our source. God is our provider. God's provision often comes through people. God provides for us, y'all. But something else I really want us to see in the text, something spiritual that happens when people participate in God's provision. I want us to know this, that God's provision produces spiritual fruit. It results in something. It results in God's stuff, what God wants to do. Verses 17 through 18, really quickly, y'all. I know we need to get to baptisms. I don't say this because I want a gift from you, rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. I have all I need, and more. Paul said, I got it, y'all. I'm good, but I appreciate what you're doing for me. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me from Epaphroditus. They are sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. So Paul isn't primarily excited about receiving the money. He's glad about that. It's cool. It's all good. He's excited about their generosity. The fact that they would give. He's excited about that. And he says, the gift to get, it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to who? To God. So Paul, he's looking at this situation through the lens, through the eyes, through the perspective of worship, a worship lens. Yeah. So it's not that they were just, they funding Paul, but listen, they were worshiping God. Let me say this. Generosity is an act of worship. Generosity is an act of worship. Every Sunday, we make a plea. As people open up their hearts and their finances and they give to this ministry. And time again, I've stood in this place, on this platform, to thank you for your generosity and your giving. But can I be real? Can I be honest for just 1 minute? If one were to really do the math, as much as God is blessing us, the math is not always mathing. If you take the number of people that God has added to this ministry, people that are part of this ministry, and you look at our tithes and our offerings up to this point, the math is not mathing. If you took 650 people, cut that in half, 250 people that are tithing and faithfully giving to God, it would look better than it looks right now. So don't get mad. It's gonna get quiet right here. But I have to say this. If generosity is an act of worship, if we can lift up our hands and worship to God, if we can shout hallelujah to God, if we can get really excited, y'all, and we can stomp our feet, y'all, and we can shout and do all of that stuff, if that's a part of our demonstrative work, what about our giving? What if God was saying to you right now, yeah, I love the way you praise me. You lift up hands. You open up your mouth. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's talk about your giving for a minute. Now, anybody that's been here for a little while, you know Pastor Love. I don't browbeat people. We don't browbeat people. We don't manipulate people. We don't say, well, listen, go around the front of the church and hold your offering up so everybody can see what you're giving. Now, we don't do that kind of stuff. Y'all, we don't even pass a collection plate, y'all. We don't pass the bucket around. We don't do any of that. What do we say? Listen, there are depository at the back of the room. Whatever you purpose in your heart, give that. Put it in that box. That's between you and God. But I'm saying something to you. If generosity is an act of worship, how is your worship to God as it relates to your giving? Yeah. Hallelujah, preacher. Yeah. Hello, Walls. Preach to me, Walls. Come on. Talk to me, Walls. I was saying, hopefully I can get the accountant to share this kind of information or executive administrator. My wife said, no, you got to say it. You're the pastor. I'm like, okay. Just be faithful in your giving. If God is faithful to you, if God has provided for you, be faithful to God. Biblical provision is about giving more than getting. It's about giving. God blesses us so that we can be channels of blessings to other people. God's provision produces spiritual fruit. So think about the boy with the five loaves of bread and the two fish, John chapter 6. That whole bunch of folk, y'all. Whole bunch of folk that Jesus fed. He blessed the stuff and he broke it. He broke the bread and he began to distribute and multiply. I believe that's the spiritual fruit, the power of God. That when we open up in generosity and give what we give, that God will do a supernatural thing. That God will do something abundant. But it don't even make sense what God can do. But we have to start with our own generosity. Yeah. Opening up our hearts, y'all, and giving to God and giving to the ministry, giving to one another. And so sometimes, y'all, I believe we're waiting on God. God, if you just give me a little bit more, I'll be a blessing. God, if you provide, I'll be a blessing to them. But maybe God is just saying, listen, I'm just waiting on you to take the little bit that you got. Give it to me. Watch me break it. Watch me multiply. Watch what God can do with it. Watch what I can do, God is saying. That God's provision produces spiritual fruit. So God wants to have what you have. It belongs to him anyway. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So ask yourself, y'all. I want you to ask yourself, what has God placed in my hands? Is it money? Is it time? Is it wisdom? Is it skill? Or some other thing? Don't underestimate what God can do with what you surrendered to him. Don't underestimate that. You don't have to have everything to be a blessing. But what do you have that you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God? That you got to be willing to place whatever you have in God's hands and watch what God can do. So now we arrive, y'all, we're getting to the end, y'all, at the great promise passage. So now he reveals the foundation underneath it all, that God is our provider. Look again at verses 19 and 20. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. This is the promise. It's real simple, that God will supply all of our needs. But notice the wording carefully, that God supplies all that we need, not all that we want. We want a lot of things. Sometimes, y'all, I think we can confuse needs with wants, can't we?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I talked to the folks this morning about some of y'all took psychology 101 and you saw Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the little triangle thing. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. That at the bottom of the triangle, there are the base needs, y'all. There are physiological needs. We need food and stuff like that. Then we need a house, a roof over our head. We need safety and belonging. We need those things. At the top of the pyramid, there was self-actualization. You know, that's why you're trying to climb to the top of the pinnacle. And here's the reality. In this world for real, though, self-actualization, y'all, it's kind of a fleeting thing. Because at the moment we think that we've really arrived, y'all, we haven't arrived. And we keep on striving, y'all. We gotta have just a little bit more. It's like the world, so you gotta keep trying. You gotta keep having a look. But listen, what is self-actualization really turning to God actualization?
Yeah.
It's actually what God wants for me.
Right.
That I'm always struggling, I'm struggling. Whatever, God, whatever you want for me, God. God, if you want this much, fine. If you want, it's okay with me. I can be content with whatever you have for me, Lord. That God will supply our need according to what? His riches and glory, his glorious riches. Last time I checked, God owns everything. that his storehouse is really big. That it's unending, y'all. That whatever you need, God's got it. But do you believe that God will provide? Do you believe in the provisions of God? Do you believe in his promise? This is good news, y'all. Because your need might be great, but I found out something. God's resources are greater than our needs. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The New Living Translation says, "I have all that I need." David didn't say, I got all I want. I got all I need. Again, I go back to the problem we have, our human problem, our flesh problem, y'all. We can't divide our needs from our wants. And oftentimes they get us in trouble, y'all. Those credit cards get us in trouble, y'all. Sometimes the shopping gets us because we want. But God, if you just supply my need, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
God, if you keep a roof over my head, God, if you keep clothes, I'm good with that, God.
Yeah.
Again, Paul is in jail. I'm content, God, with whatever you do for me. I'm good with that. Because I believe, God, you can allow me to survive and thrive in whatever situation I might be in. But here's something I know, that God is a good shepherd.
Yes.
And I found out something. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. We don't know what we want. Or we say what we want. Have you ever want, God, if I just get this. Have you ever received some stuff, gossip stuff, and said, "Whoa, I don't want this no more." Look, married people, look at me, don't look around. I'm not talking about that. Praise God, look at me. Y'all, he was shipping. Yeah. But for real, though, God knows us better than we even know ourselves. God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. Even when you don't understand what you need, God knows. God knows you from the inside out. God knows the depths of you. God knows exactly what you and I, what we need. So as sheep, we don't have to understand, listen, the shepherd's plan. We simply need to trust God that the good shepherd, he'll supply everything that we need. God will supply what you need. So really, there are three questions that we need to really ask ourselves, y'all. So the three questions we should ask when it comes to these resources. So what do I actually need? Not everything I want, but what do you need? Not everything, you know, society's gonna tell you, but what do you really need? What do you genuinely need? Ask yourself that question. And then, what has God already provided for you? And therein lies a big problem too, y'all. What has God already provided? Sometimes we're so busy looking at what somebody else has. We're so busy looking at the Joneses and what they got, y'all. We're not appreciative of what God has already done for us. That I'm looking over, man, they driving that, they live it. I got to have that too. No, but what has God given you? It might be a hoopty, but as long as it runs, let's praise God for what he gave you. It runs. And Lord, if it's paid for, shout hallelujah. Sometimes anxiety makes us focus so intensely on what we lack rather than what God has already blessed us with. This other thing, what can I trust God with today? Not tomorrow, not next week, not what can I trust God with for today? Jesus said in Matthew 6, 31 through 34, not to worry about what we will eat or drink or what we're going to wear. Why? Because our Heavenly Father already knows what we want. He knows what we need. And he will supply our needs. He's a good father, our heavenly father, a divine father. And he will supply your need and my need. God knows, God sees, and God cares. And God provides, y'all.
Yes, he does.
So, as we prepare to close, listen, Philippians 4, y'all, it's really a beautiful balance, y'all. So, as it relates to contentment. Paul says, I learned to be content. The Philippians says, we're going to provide for your need. Paul says God will supply all of our needs. So we see three things here. We see contentment, generosity, and trust. That's biblical balance, y'all. If you're trying to learn how to be content, contentment with what you have, generosity, y'all, that we're generous to God, we're generous with one another, and we trust that God will provide in any circumstance, any situation, that's biblical provision. And so we don't have to live in anxiety, y'all, when we feel like we're living in lack. We don't have to try to manipulate other people and circumstances to get what we want. You know, we don't have to buddy and you know do wrong because so we can get what we want. Yeah, we don't have to hoard or be afraid or any of those things. All we have to stand, God, you're gonna make a way. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God, I know you. And God, you never failed me yet. That God, you're going to make a way for me. That God will provide for your every need. We can trust what God said. God said, I will supply. So, closing analogy, y'all. Y'all know sometimes I got to just bring it home with some kind of little prop. Thank God for my neighbor who made this one for me. So we have the, everybody, we got faucets and sinks and stuff at home. Have you ever been in a situation, for real though, where you went to turn the faucet on, and absolutely nothing came out of the thing. I mean, no drip, no nothing. You're like, okay, what am I do now? Okay, so is it the faucet? Is something wrong with the faucet? And so maybe you might call a neighbor. Hey Joe, you got any water over there, man? What's going on in your house? I ain't got water either, man. I don't have water. Okay, let's call San Antonio Water. Let's see what's going on. And San Antonio Water say, listen, I'm sorry, we have some trouble in your neighborhood. Yeah, we had to shut the water off, so the water supply is off right now. So here's the deal. This, the faucet, is simply a channel. That's what it is. It's a channel that you can open and close to receive water. But when a channel dries up, when it stops, listen, the source does not stop. That wherever that water, that aquifer, that water comes from, the water is still down in the source, y'all.
Yeah.
And so the source does not run out. I'm trying to tell you something today that God doesn't run out, that God always has it. The source never runs out. The channel might run out, but God doesn't run out. Listen, one job might run out, but God will supply another job. Listen, God will supply your every need according to his riches and glory, y'all. Listen, family might be able to help you, friends maybe, but maybe they can't, but God will provide. That God is the source, y'all. Channels will go, channels will come, but God is ultimately the source of our life, and I declare he will provide for you and for me. I believe it, y'all, and I trust God for it, that God will supply our every need, that God is your source, y'all. So, got the job, don't have the job, God will supply. Never confuse the channel with the source. And too often times we do that because this dries up, because this ain't working properly. We stop trusting God.
Yeah.
We stop believing what God can do.
Yeah.
God may not give you everything you want, but God will give you everything you need.
Yeah.
So God is provider, y'all. God is sustainer. God is shepherd. God is our source. God is our all in all. God is all of that. And because God is your source, you will never ever run out of God. You'd never run out of God. Hallelujah, somebody. You'd never run out of God. He won't stop providing. He won't stop making a way. He won't stop meeting your needs. God will always make a way out of no way for you and for me. So what I love about this last verse, though, can you imagine Paul, as this is being written, he begins to think about the goodness of God, y'all. I look at that last verse, verse 20. That's a praise. Paul went into praise mode, y'all. I think Paul started thinking about the goodness of Jesus. You think the goodness, all that he did for him. And Paul says this, now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever, y'all. I believe it ought to be that way, y'all. When we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us and how much he's provided us, y'all, we ought to be able to say, oh, praise to God, our Father, forever and forever. And all praise to God, our Father, forever and forever. God met my need. I prayed forever and forever and forever. God met the need. I prayed forever. And God made a way. I prayed forever and forever and forever and forever. And I can't stop praying in his name. I can't stop praising him. I can't stop praising for his goodness. I can't stop praising God for all he's done for me. The church said, amen. And our God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Let me give you a few takeaways, y'all, and we're going to be gone. So, first takeaway, contentment is learned, not inherited. Yeah, we have to learn how to be content. Yeah. Didn't happen overnight. You have to go through some changes, Brother Stephen. Preacher, you got to go through some stuff. That you know what it looks like sometimes to live in lack, to not have enough. And you turn your face to God, and God provides. Yeah. Contentment is learned, it's not inherited, y'all. So we gotta learn, y'all. We gotta go through some things. Paul went through some things. That notice too that God is the source. People in circumstance, they're the channel, y'all. Y'all, we want to worship people. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate. That's a country. I appreciate. In the South, we just say appreciate, okay? So appreciate, that's what the word means. But I appreciate you, but I realize something. Is as much as you help me, as much as you may have, the church may help me, and friends or family, you are not my source. God is. Because when you walk out, when you get mad, when you don't want to give something, listen, God will make another way. So amen. I appreciate you. But God can make another way. I know that. God can make another way. God is the source. People, they're just channels. And then know that God's provision is about needs, not unlimited wants. We got to get that through our heads, y'all. That God shall supply all of my need according. Not everything I want, but he'll supply my every need. Then generosity is an expression of worship. What we give to God and others becomes an offering pleasing to him. Generosity is about worship, too. It's not just placing money into the back box there or an offering plate. It's about your worship to God. Yeah. What do you say about the worship of God? Do you really trust God? Our giving, y'all, it says a whole lot about our trust in God. That I can give this and know God's still going to make a way. Yeah. And so I pray for you today that if you're in a position right now where you're saying, that, I mean, look, my account's not lined up quite right now where I can't give the way I want to give, that God would put you in a place where you could do that. Yes. So generosity is an act of worship. So Christ gives us strength for every circumstance. That's what Philippians 4:13 is really all about. That whatever we're dealing with in life, whatever our circumstances might be, as we're serving God, God will give us strength. God will give you strength for every situation that you're dealing with. This last thing, God's character is more dependable than our circumstances. Circumstances change, y'all. But God's faithfulness, it never changes. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The promise of God's provision, and it really comes down to this at this moment. What's the greatest thing that God ever provided for us? That while we were yet in sin, Jesus came and he died for you and for me. A generous God provided a way for us to spend eternity with him by giving his only son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we can live forever and ever in contentment in him. Perhaps you're here today and you're in the, not in a saving relationship with Jesus. Well, how do you do that? This is our invitation to a relationship with Jesus. To place your faith in Jesus, to receive eternal life, what do you have to do? Recognize that we are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory. No one is right, no, not one. So we confess. We come into agreement with God about our sins. You know, we so often call our sins, we got pretty words for it now. I've fallen. Well, where'd you fall? You sin. We make mistakes and errors. It's all sin before God. He's a holy God. Even the smallest amount of misdoings and misdeeds is sin against God. So we confess it. We repent from our sins, y'all. We turn from our sin and we turn to God. And then we ask Jesus to save us by his unmerited favor and by his grace. And ultimately, what do? We turn over the rule of our lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Allow him to be the Lord and the master and the ruler of your life and my life. So if you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you in this moment. The ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. Won't you come right now? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Won't you come right now? Maybe you're here today and you're not connected to a local church where you can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, praise with other believers. Won't you come right now? Our hands are extended. Won't you come? We have new member ministry advisors across the hallway. They will meet with you, gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Won't you come? Yeah, come. We don't rush this moment. My storm, you know, is empty, and I am available to you. Is this your heart's cry? Are you available to God? Won't you come right now? Avail yourself to him. Don't wait. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. Won't you come right now? And maybe in this moment you're saying, listen, I don't want to get up in front of people and walk out. Listen, after this worship service, there will be a new member ministry advisor across the hallway, room number one. Just go across the hallway. They'll gather information, and we'll welcome you with open arms. And the church said, amen. Come on, give God praise one more time. Hallelujah.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.